AIG says maybe it won't sell.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to examine the global perspective now. What's happening around the world in business and economics and how it affects the United States. A deal that would have helped AIG pay back some of what it owes taxpayers may be falling apart. The insurance giant had planned to sell its Asian life insurance unit to the British insurer Prudential, but today AIG said it will not agree to a lower price. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live from our studio in New York. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
So why is this deal such a big deal?
Well, the sale was supposed to help AIG raise money to pay back the U.S. government for some of that $132 billion bailout it got in the financial crisis. But several Prudential shareholders thought that the company was overpaying in the deal. Prudential asked AIG to lower the price from about $35 billion to around $30 billion. And this morning, AIG's board rejected that lower offer.
So does that kill this deal then?
Well, analysts are saying that Prudential will probably walk away. It was under a lot of pressure to get a lower price, and it failed to do so.
And it's a bitter blow to the company. But what about taxpayers? What does this mean for us?
Well, it does put off AIG's plans to start paying us back. And reports say that AIG may go back to its original plan to spin off the unit in a public offering, but that'll take much longer.
All right. Marketplace's Amy Scott reporting from New York. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's check some numbers. European shares are tanking today. Markets are down 2% or more. Debt, again, at the center of the sell-off. And it doesn't help that China reported some slow manufacturing numbers for May as well. Most Asian markets were off about 1% today. Wall Street opens the weekend month after a dismal month of May. The S&P and Dow fell about 8%. Oil is back down to near $72 a barrel. BP shares have plunged more than 10% today in London. That's after it failed to block the Gulf of Mexico leak with its so-called top kill over the weekend. The energy company says the cost of cleanup is very well near $1 billion. Meantime, tourism along the beaches of the Gulf Coast are likely to be hit big time. Other places that live off vacation dollars have seen disasters recently as well. Nashville, Tennessee saw horrific flooding. Athens and Bangkok had riots and protests. Peter Yesowicz heads up Y Partnership. That's a travel and entertainment marketing firm. He's with us now to talk about how or even if those places can recover. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Steve.
What do you do when tourism is your livelihood and the whole place comes apart?
Well, I think you can pretty much count on the fact that, assuming there's no long-term damage to the beaches, for example, in the Gulf Coast, what you'll find is that they'll be quick to the marketplace with some very attractive offers that will allow people to put them back in the consideration set. You know, the other thing that's remarkable about this business is that memories are very short. And we've seen this time and again after hurricanes have blown through and or there have been other kind of natural disasters. The recovery period is frankly a lot shorter than most people would normally expect.
Can a city, say in Athens or Nashville or even like Fort Walton Beach, Florida, can it take out like an insurance policy in case something like this happens where, hey, we're going to lose millions and millions of dollars in tourism? You know, maybe the insurance company can make up for it.
They would try, but I think most insurers would consider something like this to be an act of God and as a result would exempt them from any insurance coverage that they might have.
Even an oil spill deep in the Gulf of Mexico?
That's the kind of thing, Steve, that gets litigated for years.
Is there a difference between places that are hit by natural disasters, say a hurricane, a tornado, something, floods as we've seen in Nashville, and say riots and unrest in other places, Athens, Bangkok?
Yeah, absolutely. And the difference, Steve, very simply, is whether or not you feel personally vulnerable to the threat. For example, what's happening in Bangkok is truly tragic. That business will be devastated for a long time because people are genuinely concerned about their physical safety, as opposed to a hurricane blowing through the Gulf. And yes, there may be a lot of structural damage and so forth, but, you know, that can be repaired, and it's not a sense of real personal vulnerability. So when you have issues of personal safety that arise, it changes all the rules of the game.
Peter Yesowicz of Y Partnership joining us from Frankfurt. Peter, thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender. monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. By Mass Mutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
First, there was the Kindle ebook reader from Amazon. Then came the Nook from Barnes & Noble. Now Borders is set to release its Kobo reader just in time for Father's Day. But don't forget about Apple. Users have already downloaded millions of digital books to their iPads. Janet Babin reports.
Apple has pitched their brand new iPad as an all-purpose media consumption device, good for games and videos, as well as for magazines and books. That may crimp sales of ebook readers like the Kobo. Kobo will sell for about $100 less than its competitors, but price alone may not be enough to lure readers. Richard Nash founded the digital publishing startup Cursor. He doubts there are enough people out there who want to buy up all these ebook devices.
The demand is not only going to be anything like what it was with iPod. There's fairly limited demand for a device that does nothing other than let you read books.
Why spend up to $250 on a dedicated device when you can get something for $500 that'll let you read books and oh so much more? I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, despite the fact markets on Wall Street were closed for the long Memorial Day weekend, there was a swarm of activity going on. Thousands of bees buzzed people walking into restaurants and headed down subway stairs in lower Manhattan. Nobody knows where the bees came from. And they were eventually sucked into this low-pressure vacuum by the NYPD beekeeper. The insects were then transported to a place Wall Streeters know very well. They've been relocated to Connecticut. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.